In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen. Good morning. I'm glad you're here. It's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful morning, it's a beautiful occasion, and it's an important day, and I'm glad you're here. Many years ago, Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson made a movie together called A Few Good Men. I know most of you probably have seen it. It's a good movie. Jack Nicholson does not play the good guy. Well, it's true. However, he gets off a good line. While Tom Cruise is baiting him, trying to admit that he committed the crime, Jack Nicholson is arguing that Cruise and people of his ilk just don't understand. They don't understand the importance of the work that he does. He's got a good point. And he says, and he hisses these words at Cruise with just this contempt. He said, "We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline." Well, he was on the wrong side of the argument, but he made a good point. Because the words themselves that are used, in this case, by the Marines, but the words that are used by Christians, the words that are used by anybody who believes in ideas of virtue and honor, who believes that our lives have purpose and meaning, who believes that we were created for a reason, that we're called to be something other than what we just happen to feel like being, that we're called to greatness, and that we're given that greatness, that we're given a piece of what it means to be God, to become just like God, through the mercy of God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who created but more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature. Those of us who believe that these things are true know that these words have meaning and they're not just the object of a joke. Years ago, back in Illinois, in my former parish, a member of the parish invited me to his grandson's Eagle Scout ceremony. He was becoming an Eagle. I had never been to an Eagle ceremony. I've been to several since then, including my own son's, but I had never been to one at that point. And I went for the first time, and I listened to him describe his Eagle project. He had restored a historic site on the south side of Chicago. It was an incredible project. But he talked about the other things that he had done, not by way of bragging about, hey, look what I did, but rather by talking about what the last several years had meant to him and to his friends as they tried to uphold ideals that they really actually believed in and they worked through and they lived out in the things that they did. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. He worked through all of those. And the life he lived embodied those things and that honor and courage and perseverance. Those ideas that he were talking about, they were real. They were not just something he read off some card or some script. These were words that actually shaped his life. And I thought, as he was saying this, I imagined what it would be like if he was saying this to the people at his school in a high school auditorium, if everybody else were up on bleachers and he were talking about honor, if he were talking about justice, about defending the weak. I don't know what kind of high school you went to. I went to a good churchy high school, but we still would have laughed this guy right off the stage. We would. And I'll tell you why. And I think that most of the culture in general would. When you describe somebody as a Boy Scout, does that mean a good thing? No, it's a sarcastic comment. Oh, he's a Boy Scout. That means that he upholds these ideals that, oh, come on, you know, that's not how the real world works. I'll tell you why. It's because the real world is not up to the task of the holy. I'll say that again. The real world is not up to the task of the holy. And it's an important task. And these are important ideals. And they matter. And there are people who live them. St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, as he was trying to encourage them to persevere as a Christian community, as they upheld ideals that mattered, that were important, he said to them, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent and anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Do these things." He goes on to say, keep on doing the things that you have seen in me, the things that I've done, you do them too. Live this life. Believe in these virtues. Believe that these words have power, that these are actual realities. What Christians and others call virtues, these are practices that form our character. And they come from God. And they don't just appear. We have to be taught these virtues. Paul, elsewhere in his letters, this time in Galatians, he writes, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." It's the fruit of the Spirit. That means that they come from the Spirit of God. They are gifts that are given to us, but we cultivate them. They are a real thing. They're not just some notion that we bat about the words when we feel like it. When it's the right occasion, then we say things like this. We say words like honor, like character. These are a reality. And what this has to do with the resurrection is simply this, that there are people who embody these things. Jesus embodied all of this as the Son of God made flesh on earth. Jesus was these things. And the gospel says that when the women went back to tell the other apostles that these things had become flesh again, you know, they may have been wrong to look for the dead among the living, but they were right to look for a body. They were right to look for these ideas to be enfleshed in real people. Because that's what Jesus was. And the women went back and they reported that he had risen, that these ideas that they had hoped for weren't a nice thought, but it now that all ended on a very unfortunate Friday, and now it's time to get back to the game and time to get back to reality here. And the men didn't want to hear it. You know why? Because like our culture, the disciples were not up to the task of the holy. The scriptures say these words seemed to them an idle tale. But notions that we hold up in Scripture, notions of virtue that we hold up as part of what it means to be Christian, to be followers of Christ, they will know that we are Christians, Scripture tells us, by our love for each other. Paul again says that faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. These notions that we bat around, we cannot afford to take for granted. Because who else in our culture is holding them up? There may have been a time when you could hear these virtues held up on every street corner. I don't know how sincere that was, but it used to be true. But I'll tell you this, look at our present political presidential campaigns right now. Pick your candidate, doesn't matter. Do you see candidates holding up the dignity of human nature? Do you see candidates proclaiming that we are created in the image and likeness of God? That we have intrinsic worth and value? and not just us, but our neighbors close at home and abroad, that human beings have value that was given to them by God? No. In fact, our political process now is so broken that we don't even hold up the lip service idea that we intend to honor each other. Now we just assault each other's wives. We insult each other's personal appearance. We debase ourselves in the interest of winning. Our candidates scare me, I'll be honest with you, but our people scare me more because we're lapping it up. Because we're acting out of our fear, we're acting out of our reactivity, we're just hoping that someone clubs the other one over the head and that we can see it on television. And God calls us to be bigger and better people than that. And that's why we're here. That's why there is a church. That's why the Easter resurrection matters. It matters that these were not just ideas that were battered around by some hippie 2,000 years ago who got what he had coming to him. It matters that he survived. It matters that he overcame death. It matters that these things that he was teaching were an embodied reality. And God is calling you and me into that. I say this to you because on this day of resurrection, these ideas matter. They, together with the body of Jesus, that's what was resurrected. That's what lives forever, and that's what we're called to do and to be, to practice those virtues. And we're called to carry them out into the world. Now, I want to say to those of you who may be visiting today or who aren't here very often, that if you believe that God is making a call like that to you, if you believe there is such a thing as virtue, if you believe that you want to order your life according to it, but you're not sure how, well, that's the business that we're in. That's why we're here. That's why we're glad to welcome you and play this incredible music and have this beautiful liturgy for all of us today, is to hold up the idea that virtue matters. And that your role in it matters. Helen Keller, the blind and deaf woman who made history by learning to overcome her disabilities, was once asked if there was anything worse than being blind. And she answered, "Oh yes, there is something worse than being blind. It is being able to see and not having any vision." George Counsell wrote that at the Easter Vigil, the service we observed last night when we kindled the Paschal flame over here out in the columbarium, out in amidst the dead, and we kindled the resurrection flame and brought into eternal life together with us all of those we love who've come before. He says that the first prayer that is said about the new fire with which the Paschal candle is lit, and the first thing we ask for in that first prayer at the first liturgy of Easter, is that we may burn with a heavenly fire, with heavenly desires. We're not here to debate resurrection, but to burn with the desire for the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The best case scenario. No one explains the resurrection, but many have found grace to practice it together. Resurrection is about hope, of course. It's the hope with which many of us have laid our dearest ones to rest in the everlasting arms of our merciful Lord over the past year. It's the hope that informs our waiting and watching as some of us prepare for that same sad day. It's the hope that keeps us going on the way. But that hope of the resurrection is not about winning, and it's not about our individual survival. It's a hope for the best case scenario, the transformation of the whole world. St. Augustine said, "Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are Anger and Courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain the way that they are." Easter will inflame us with anger at all the conditions in the world and in our social order and in our personal lives that diminish the children of God. And Easter will inflame us with courage to speak and to act so that the world will know that death does not have the final word. Joseph Pagano wrote, "Practice resurrection. Practice resurrection. Maybe resurrection," he says, "like anything else, needs to be practiced. Is it possible to practice resurrection on our own cities and streets? Can we, like those first women who came to the tomb, practice resurrection in our own lives? The promise of Easter is that, yes, we can. We don't need to go about looking for the dead among the living, and we don't need to go about living like the dead among the living. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He is alive. Because he is the first fruits, we can be assured that a similar future awaits us. We need to be reminded of the truth of the resurrection over and over again. But we also need to practice resurrection. The truth of Easter is that the promise of new life doesn't just await us in the future, but that we are able to live new lives here and now by the power of the resurrection. Maybe resurrection, like everything else, needs to be practiced. Amen.